Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to tonight's Red Light Sports Ramble, presented by the Red Light Sports Network. Happy Labor Day to all listening live. Not sure what happened with Troy there, but
I was expecting
him to get started. Oh, okay. Anyways, I was expecting you to get started, and there's silence. So,
anyway, I
just want to thank all the listeners for giving us a listen, and I hope they enjoyed their day off. So I'm going to quickly throw it to you so you can get the show started.
Yeah, I had it on mute. I did get the show started, and I had my great intro that I always have, but I had it on mute during the music because I was opening my drink, and I didn't want it to interfere with the music, so I just forgot to unmute myself. That's about the way the day's been going. It's Labor Day. I know a lot of people didn't work. I didn't work either, but did a lot of stuff, so busy day. Cut the grass, mopped some floors, did some errands, so I did a lot of stuff that I normally can't do because I'm working so much during the week and on the weekend, but I apologize for being on mute. But we got a great show tonight, Evan. NFL rosters had to be cut to 53 this weekend. Green Bay Packers, we discussed last week, some interesting moves by Ted Thompson. Needless to say, some very interesting moves. Definitely going to talk about Josh Sitton, give you my take on that. You give your take. That is one head scratcher right there. Joe Callahan, third quarterback on the roster. No long snapper on the roster, 53-man roster, Evan. And Sam Barrington, although probably not the long-term inside middle linebacker of the Green Bay Packers, not on the roster, which means we may see a rookie start at inside linebacker. So a lot of interesting moves, Evan. I'm just going to turn it over to you. You know, the most interesting and probably the most surprising, Josh Sitton. Was one of the Packers' cuts. This is a Pro Bowl guard, 1 year left on his $33 million contract. You know, I was thinking probably this was going to be his last year in Green Bay. He didn't even get that year. And so Ted Thompson and the Green Bay Packer organization apparently had tried to trade Sitton, no takers, and instead of letting him play out his final year of his contract and saying goodbye at the end of the year, they decided to cut ties before the beginning of the regular season. And I'm going to turn it over to you to get your initial thoughts, and then I'll chime in when you're done, and we'll have a little discussion about Mr. Sitton and his now absence on the offensive line.
Yeah, well, it's a head scratch. Well, first, they do have a long snapper now. It's a familiar face. Brent Gould re-signed with the team. He's the one that got hurt last year, blew out his ACL. But, you know, he's back. But Sitton, it definitely is a head scratcher. Now, it's looking like it had to do with financial. Basically, they save about $6.5 million against the cap for cutting, and that's money that can carry over into next year if they choose to apply it to the cap next year. But it also could be used to help possibly extend during the season. Guys like Treader and Lang and Lacey and Bakhtiari. My guess is they started talking to Bakhtiari about extending him. Bakhtiari gave the Packers his early numbers, and they decided that they need to get some money to re-up Bakhtiari because Bakhtiari plays at a premium position. Left tackles in the NFL get paid, and I think he's going to probably get quite a bit of money. And I wonder if they're starting to work on trying to re-up him. But now Lane Taylor will be the starter at left guard, and Josh Sitton is playing for the Chicago Bears, which you know what this really reminds me a lot of, Troy? A few years back, it would have been, I think, early to mid-2000s, Lawyer Malloy. I don't know if you remember that name at all. But the Patriots just out of the blue, abruptly cut him going into cutdown day when the roster had to be down to 53. And then he went and signed a deal with the Buffalo Bills. And I hope the outcome isn't the same from the first meeting that the Patriots and the Bills had, which also happened to be week one. I hope that first week, the first game outcome when the Bears and Packers meet is not the same, because the Patriots got their butts handed to them by the Bills. And Lawyer Malloy had a pretty pretty strong game then too. But, you know, it have to be financials, why. And it's too early right now for me to say if it was a, you know, a smart decision or not. We'll find out in a week from yesterday what kind of decision it was. Because if Lane Taylor comes in and gets Aaron Rodgers killed, then it obviously was not a good decision. So that's the reason behind it. I'm a little, you know, when it happened, like I said, I was a little head-scratcher, a little taken aback on why they would get rid of their top offensive lineman. But now as I check it out and think about it, it's making just a little bit more sense than it was when the Packers first did it. But, you know, I shouldn't go for walks anymore, Troy, when the cutdown day is happening. I shouldn't go for walks anymore because I had left to I'd love to go for a walk, and my brother sends me a text, and it's, "What is this?" is what he quickly quickly sent me, and I look at it, and I was utterly confused. But what are your thoughts on the Packers letting Josh Sitton go and sign with the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, well, the signing with the Bears just sucks. You know, but what do you do? It's a business. Once you're a free agent, you can go anywhere. You know, and it seems like former Packers always want to try to go to a rival to rub it in, a.k.a. Greg Jennings, Brett Favre, now Josh Sitton going to the Bears. Fine, let him go there. I look at it from this standpoint, though, Evan. It's a head-scratcher to me. I know it's financial. It's purely financial. And I'm not in the facility. I wasn't around every practice. I'm not the guy in the meetings. But apparently, and I can't believe that Ted Thompson just out of the blue decided to come in and say, "Hey, you know what, Mike, I'm cutting Josh Sitton because we can't work out a deal financially." I'm sure there was a lengthy conversation with Mike McCarthy about how the guys behind him were developing, Lane Taylor specifically. Is he ready to step in? Is he ready to be part of that unit? Because these are our plans moving forward. So apparently, and that's why I'm not, like, freaking out, because I can't imagine this was just off the cuff. Oh, well, we're going to, you know, stick our chests out, see who wins, and we're the Green Bay Packers. We're going to win, and we're going to cut you. I can't imagine them doing that if Lane Taylor was not, at least in the coach's mind, ready to play. So I'm not freaking out from that standpoint, but where I do have a little bit of confusion is, okay, so you can't work out anything long-term. You're going to be out of the ballpark at the end of the year. Why not let him play out the final year of his contract? This is a former Pro Bowl lineman, which also then gets me thinking, and sometimes my mind goes in crazy different ways, and maybe I'm out in left field. Sitton would play a lot. He played hurt many times. And I'm wondering if just that injury background and maybe the tweak muscles in the back and different things, maybe there's more to that. I mean, you would have had to pass the physical for the Bears anyway. But this is a guy, Evan, that would literally play with, you know, broken bones and all kinds of different ailments. He was pretty much of a warrior. But then my mind's starting to think, well, is there something wrong? Is there another tweak? Do the Packers not want to have to maybe endure that? But financially, I understand that part. It just doesn't get me, why do you cut the guy and go another year? Which then circles back to what I was saying. The coaches must have confidence in Lane Taylor, must have confidence in the guys on the line that they can fill that void. But that's a huge void to fill, Evan, and it scares me just a little bit going into week one. It scares me until I actually see how that line gels together, and we'll see what they do. But, again, you have to trust in what's going on, because I can't imagine that it was done without a lot of consultation with the coaches. You know, because if people weren't ready, Evan, I don't think Mike McCarthy would have been so happy about that, and it probably would have been the same conversation. I need him this year because I don't have anybody ready to step in at that point. So I want to flip it over, unless you have anything else to add about sitting, but I want to flip it over quickly to inside linebacker. Sam Barrington last year, of course, started the season, hurt his foot. Jake Ryan was drafted. It looks like we're going to have a Blake Martinez-Jake Ryan duo in the middle, Evan, which means a lot of inexperience, and in my mind, makes me a little nervous about our middle linebacking situation. What about you?
Yeah, well, basically, for that one, you know, Joe Thomas got a new contract, or not a new contract, but they kept him in Green Bay. And they let, as you said, they let Sam Barrington go. And here's what it makes me wonder. Now, we remember back in a few months back that the Packers came out and said that the Clay Matthews would be going back to the outside. He will be the outside linebacker. That is what was said. I'm wondering, are we now going to see Clay Matthews play a lot in the middle, even though that's something that they said would not be happening? I wonder if Clay will be playing some in the middle. That's what I wonder. That's the only thing I can figure. Unless Joe Thomas impressed that much. Now, Blake Martinez did impress a little bit. Jake Ryan, I'm not 100% sold on him yet, but you know, Barrington was nothing special, but he was a strong leader on the defense. He was a thumper in the middle, something that I've said numerous times that the Packers needed, that thumper in the middle. And now he's in Kansas City. And the only thing I can figure, the only thing I can guess is we're going to be seeing a lot of Clay Matthews. More Clay Matthews in the middle than we thought we were going to be seeing. But, you know, this is supposed to be a Super Bowl team, okay? This is supposed to be a Super Bowl contending team. Urgency, that is what was talked about during the offseason. Urgency, 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 urgency. And they let go. They let go of Josh Sitton, one of the top guards in football, and then they let go of a veteran on defense in Barrington. So it just kind of really makes me scratch my head and wonder what the hell is going on Lombardi Avenue, because they're depending on a lot of undrafted guys, too, on the team overall. I think they had five undrafted guys that five undrafted guys that made the roster, most in the NFL. So it's just kind of, as I said, it's just kind of a head-scratcher on what's going on. But do you kind of agree with me? Do you think that we could be seeing some, you know, Clay Matthews in the middle more than we had thought we were? Or what do you think is going on?
Yeah, actually, with not addressing the middle linebacker. Like you said, Martinez, you know, he's a rookie. So you're going to have to take some good with the bad, but I like what I see so far. But we don't play a 4-3. So, you know, you're going to have a guy in the middle that, if it's Martinez or Ryan, I'm not so sure. And I can't imagine that this is a doping type thing, Evan, where they're telling teams Clay Matthews is outside, Clay Matthews is outside. Then they're going to play Clay Matthews in week one in the middle. I need to see what these guys do in the middle, and I don't. If the Packers think they addressed it with Martinez, fine, but he's unproven. And so to get rid of what I consider a safety blanket in Barrington, because, again, Evan, like you said, he was nothing special. He wasn't this all-pro middle linebacker, but he was a guy in my mind that was a safety blanket. That one, to me, actually was very surprising that Barrington was let go because of the youth at middle linebacker with Ryan and Martinez. Like you said, they got Joe Thomas. And, you know, you don't want to get, I guess, overloaded in the middle. But at the same point, where is the quality there and where's the veteran leadership? When I think of middle linebacker, Evan, I think of a guy that is a natural leader because he's a guy that is in the middle of that group, right up the gut, where it's very important to stop the run, read the offense, see what's going on. I would imagine you're going to see some Clay Matthews in the middle. I mean, the way that he played last year, this is a guy that when you move him around, it's actually very disrupting. It can be very disrupting. If you start him maybe on the game at outside, move him to the inside, teams can't really game plan for him then. And maybe that's the plan. So it was surprising with Barrington seeing him let go. But then you mentioned what's going on at Lombardi Avenue, and I want to throw my take in here. You kind of stole the words right out of my mouth that this cutdown day didn't really seem to me like, are we a championship contender or are we trying to rebuild? Because I know undrafted rookies and free agents, that's fine. You can use one or two of them, but my God, Evan, five. I understand you're trying to add depth, and maybe you're like, well, this is a young guy I can develop. But I'm past the developing stage with this Green Bay Packer team. This is an offensive team that we know has Aaron Rodgers and all the weapons, and Eddie Lacy's looking good, so you get rid of Sitton. Oh, okay, what are you thinking there? And then defensively is where we need to make sure that we're solid. Middle linebacker has been a question mark for a couple of years now. I mean, our cornerback depth and our safety play is good. But then you look at the defensive line, Evan. There's nothing in my mind on that defensive line other than possibility of potential. There's nothing that stands out to me that says this is going to be a great defensive line. And so you start the season with very little depth on a defensive line in my mind right now that is unproven. You know, you have the Raji retirement, and so you're now hoping that, you know, your first-round pick can develop. You got Guillen in the middle. But where's the depth on the defensive line, Evan? That's a position where there's always little nicks, bangs, injuries, and I would have thought they would have addressed that a little bit more. But to me, a very unproven defensive line with no depth, and so they're putting their, to me, it's almost like they're putting their eggs in one basket. You know, we talked about this last week. The seven wide receivers made the team, unprecedented. But it's a good group. It's a very good group. And then we had brought it up, or I had brought up about Joe Callahan. We were thinking that they're not going to keep three quarterbacks, and they kept three quarterbacks. You know, I can kind of understand, but, you know, you don't want this guy getting scooped up because he probably won't make the practice squad. But now you had to use a roster spot on him when you have issues in other areas. Quarterback's not one of them. I know that when Rodgers got hurt, people say that's why you need to have three quarterbacks. But it's taking up a roster spot in my mind, Evan, of other positions, specifically the defensive line, where I think we need more depth. And now offensive line was sitting gone. I hope these guys behind him can get the job done. But I'm really my hopes were very high going into the weekend, and I know we haven't played a game yet, and it was just cutdown day. But now there's almost like a little bit of, I don't know what the word is, anxiousness or concern. I don't know if it's so much concern, but I'm just, I guess, baffled. Baffled at the moves that were made, and that's why I put interesting in the preview, because they're certainly interesting. And some of them are baffling to me. So that's all I have.
Yeah, and now looking at the time, we are got about 10 minutes left. And I just want to throw this out. You know, Troy, I don't really enjoy being wrong all the time. I don't enjoy being wrong. I don't think that a lot of people enjoy being wrong. But I'll be honest here. There are some times that I have no problem when I'm proven wrong. And one of those times happened on Saturday. You and I talked briefly about the Badger-LSU game, and I didn't think the Badgers had much of a shot to keep it within single digits, let alone win the game. And the Badgers came out, and they won. And here's the thing, and I posted a podcast earlier on Spreaker. You can and you can find me on Spreaker, Evan with Allison. And I posted it on Spreaker, and here's basically what I said. Hard work, and I'm not saying the Badgers don't have talent, but hard work defeats talent every time. And here's the thing. A Badgers got talent. If you look at LSU, Charlie, they got talent across the board, five-star recruits across the board. That's what they have in LSU. But the Badgers outworked them. They wanted it more. They came in. They were fired up. They're playing at where a lot of those guys grew up dreaming that they'll get the time, the day to play in that facility in their lifetime. And they got a potential for a majority of the guys on the field for the Badgers, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to play in Lambeau Field. And they were not going to waste it. And they punched LSU in the mouth repeatedly. And I had tweeted out, and I can't remember if I said it on the show, but the keys to victory for Wisconsin, they have to get LSU off the field on third downs. And I think LSU, Troy, converted one third down the entire game, just one. And I think Callahan was the guy's name. He came in on the second play of the game to replace Chris Orr, who tore the ACL on the first play of the game. And this play, to me, was the play of the game. The LSU does a screen pass. And Calhoun, Leonard Fournette had the ball. And he made a one-on-one open field tackle on third down, stopping LSU short of the first. And that play right there, I think, was an even bigger play of the game, even more than that interception to end up sealing it for Wisconsin. But what were your thoughts on that Badger game? I know you, like I, didn't think Wisconsin was going to win, and both of us were wrong. What were your thoughts?
Well, I was very wrong. I'm glad I was wrong. It was nice to see the Badgers play with some tenacity. It shows, like you said, this is a young team. I had mentioned I really want to see, this young group develop, and I think they're in the right direction. Huge win. I'm not going to all of a sudden change my tune for the season, Evan, and consider this a team that, you better watch out and reckon with the Badgers. I think they're going to be competitive. They still have a lot of places to grow and learn and get better. This is a huge win. If they're going to go out every week and play like they did against LSU, they could surprise a few teams. It's a team that's going to have to continually work, because most of the weeks their roster is not going to be more talented than the other roster. But it was great to see. It was great to see, and it gives Badger fans a lot of great hope for the season. LSU is a good team, a very good team. But, with Wisconsin going out and literally just outworking, in my mind, and you saw the frustration at the end of the interception with the late hit. I mean, that's how much the Badgers frustrated LSU. I'm not going to get into that. I mean, if nobody knows what I'm talking about, There was an interception and then just a late hit after, which is pretty, you know, just it showed the frustration of an LSU. And it was great to see the Badgers go out and outwork a team, a very good team that had championship hopes. And the Badgers may have diminished those in week one for LSU. Very well could have, the way that the college football playoff works. But I'll tell you, Evan, again, you never want to apologize for winning. But, again, it's also a win, but I'm not going to all of a sudden change where I thought the outcome of this year's Badger football team is going to be. I know there's still going to be a lot of games where we throw our hands up in the air and say, oh, you know, young mistake. Because this team has a new look. They're still learning, but I'm excited. And especially when they're working hard, that's good to see. That is a core of a team right there. Now, as they develop their talent, if they can keep that work ethic, you could have a very special team in Wisconsin very soon.
And so Bart Houston has a lot of work to do, but fortunately, in Bart Houston's case, he's got a couple cupcakes to deal with between now and the Big Ten slate. And the Badgers open a very tough Big Ten slate. They got, if I'm not mistaken, at Michigan State, at Michigan, home against Ohio State, and then at Iowa to close out the first four games of the Big Ten slate. And it's going to be a very tough slate, but, you know, it's a way for the Badgers to grow a little bit. And this is going to be a transition year for Wisconsin. It will be. They have a lot of young guys on the offensive line, and they have a left tackle, Troy, that last year played at UW Stevens Point, and he's going up against one of the top pass rushers in all of college football, and he held him in check pretty good. Talk about doing good work on your first career start to Division I level. And then Femugawe, tight end, he had a huge game, made some clutch catches, and Gagadeone, clutch field goals. And, you know, got to wonder what's going through his head. There is a car accident, and there is a punter that punted for Nebraska got killed in the car crash, as well as one other person. And the Gaglione was supposed to be in that car, as was Pete Martel. They were both supposed to be in that car that crashed that killed the former Nebraska punter and one other. And I just wonder what's going through their mind knowing that could have been them. So, anyways, I'm going to throw it back to you. I really don't have anything else to add. So I'm going to throw it back to you to give your final thoughts and wrap it up.
Yeah, not much more to add. You know, it was a good weekend for Badger football and a crazy weekend for a Green Bay Packer fan. You know, wondering what's going on. But, you know, as we lead up to the NFL season, Evan, we're definitely going to talk some NFL season. Already starts on Thursday, which is awesome. Moving right along. Baseball is now in September, so we do have some wild card races going on. We definitely want to, you know, talk a little bit of baseball here as we move along. But, you know, again, NFL season, we were going to talk about some of the big names that were cut teams, and maybe we'll get to that tomorrow night. So join us. 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. For Evan Wichallison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. Enjoy your night, everyone.